Matthew 8, verse number 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now in the same chapter of Matthew, look at verse number 14, if you will. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now if you go to Matthew chapter number 9, verse 28 and verse 29, Matthew 9, verse 28, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. Matthew 17, chapter 17. Let's go there, and we'll find verse number 6, Matthew 17 and verse number 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And then in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 32, Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 32, Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses that we have read, and the other verses, Lord, that we'll read in just a moment. Lord, may the full impact of these verses read together in such a fashion define for us very clearly an aspect of Christianity, an aspect of Christ's likeness that we need to get a hold of and grab a hold of and begin to implement, Lord, into our lives. Lord, even tomorrow, even in this very week, to not just be a hearer, but to be a doer, and to begin immediately to say, here is what Christ did, and then, Lord, help me to follow his example, to walk in his steps. Bless our message. Thank you again for what a wonderful thing you've done in the church house this day, Lord. We pray that it, again, Lord, for that same Spirit of God that have shown yourself strong all through the day, please continue in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm not going to ask you to try to keep up with these, but I would like to then leave the book of Matthew with those verses that you just followed with me and saw with your eyes. I want you to listen now with your ears, and I want to continue to read instances in the Bible where Jesus touched someone. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Mark 7, verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Be opened. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him. Mark chapter 7, verse 12, and now when he was nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Luke chapter 22, verse 48, and Jesus saith unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched the ear and healed him. Mark chapter 8, verse number 22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Mark chapter 8, verse number 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought him. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Luke 18, 15, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. Mark chapter 5, verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And then later on in the chapter, verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Mark chapter 6, verse 4, and Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Luke 4, verse 40, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Luke 13, verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, if these portions of Scripture teach us anything, it teaches us this. People mattered to Jesus Christ. People mattered to Jesus Christ. You know, folks, we can never get so focused around here on a program that we forget the people. And I mean that. Projects are number two, people are number one. Programs are number two or three, people are number one. People mattered to Christ. He was always looking for a life to touch. He loved to take that which was crooked and make it straight. He loved to go to a deaf man and allow him to hear. He loved to find someone who was mute, and before he was done with them, they'd be shouting praises to the Lord. Jesus Christ was the ultimate need filler. He seemed at home amongst the common men. He moved easily through the multitudes and seemed to have an effect on everyone he passed. Although he trained in depth 12 men to carry on his work and perhaps more casually 70 more disciples, the truth of the Scriptures teach us that in the short 3-year ministry he was allowed to have on earth, Jesus Christ touched a multitude of lives. A multitude of lives. See, Christ wasn't afraid to befriend the leper. He had compassion on those who needed some type of miraculous touch. He was not intimidated by human infirmity. Sometimes, folks, there's something inside of us as human beings that recoil away from people that are a little bit different than us. He wasn't uncomfortable around blind people. He seemed quite at ease in the sick wards. Crippled people to him were not crippled people, but just people who needed a friend. Deaf people, lame people, sick people, Gentile or Jew, it seemed not to matter to Jesus Christ. All were helped, all were touched, all were made whole, all were blessed. Jesus sought out on purpose the outcasts of society. While others traveled a wide circle around the lepers, Jesus made a beeline right to their need. He did not see a disease, he saw a lost soul. While others drove with violence the demonic out of the city into the tombs and warned their children of these New Testament boogeymen, Christ did just the opposite. He left the city and went into the tombs and showed everyone that a tormented, devil-destroyed man could be made whole and sane and clothed, and that that former boogeyman would make a pretty good missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, folks, me and you, we can never be everything that Jesus Christ was. But I believe in this area we can do what he did. I believe the Bible teaches us as Christians that in this area we need to be Christ-like. You see, folks, Jesus did tell us to carry on what he did. I love the portion of Scripture where he says to his disciples, I am the light of the world. But it isn't very long after that he looks at them and says, ye are the light of the world. And let me just read this that may astound you, what Jesus said, John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And what he was saying was, you know what, my ministry is going to be very limited and very short in the time that I'm going to be here. So those of you that follow me not only will have the potential and the opportunity to do what I did, but you will even be able to do greater things that I was able to do. You know why? Because I'm going to give some of you a lifetime to serve the Lord, and I'm just going to be here for a very short amount of time. Now, in this matter, folks, I want to challenge the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. If Jesus saw that it was important for us to touch a multitude of lives, or for him to touch a multitude of lives, then by his example, he has given us a mandate to do the same. You know what? There's a lot of people out there that just need somebody to come along and have an impact on their life. And you're going to run in a different circle of folks than I'm going to run in. But all of us, just think of this great army. Look around you, folks. By the way, Sunday night crowd, this is really amazing. And if we could deputize every single born-again Christian in here with this mandate this week, you know what? I'm not just going to go out into the week and wake up in the morning and rush out the door without touching my Bible or kneeling before my Savior. But instead, I'm going to prepare my heart through the Scriptures and through prayer. And I'm going to then leave into the duties of life. But the duties are going to be second, and the people are going to be first. And to realize that every single one of us have an opportunity to touch a multitude of lives this very week. This very week. Now, I want to encourage Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I want to take you to some areas here just for a few minutes, and maybe testify, if you'll let me, a little bit about what the Lord has done to, in my heart concerning this truth, and what I have seen him do in the heart of others. But let me just encourage you in some areas. Number one, don't ever pass up an opportunity to touch the life of a child. Did you hear those little portions I read about Jesus and the children? And Jesus was busy preaching and teaching, and there were some mamas that brought their children, and they wanted Jesus to lay hands on them and to bless them and pray for them. And the disciples said, oh, no, no, he can't be bothered with kids. And Jesus heard that, and Jesus became angry, and Jesus rebuked them, and Jesus said, hey, we'll stop everything right now. Bring those kids right on up here. And Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And I want to remind us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what, I always say this, there's a lot of people in a lot of churches, and you know what, thank God, I think there are a lot of them that are doing great works with children's ministries, but sometimes I hear a lot of lip service given to this idea of reaching the next generation, but when you really put a ministry under the microscope, they really don't do a whole lot to reach the next generation. You know, if you spend any time with your eyes open this morning looking around here, you'll understand kids are number one here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We love the children. And I'll almost do anything if I can put a smile on the face of a child. Folks, let's not forget this. A lot of those kids that come in the buses, they don't come in from probably the same home opportunities that the children that are sitting here tonight came from. And for some of them, they're never going to hear an I love you if they don't hear it here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And many of them are talked down, and some of them are treated very caustically. And the honest truth is, because of that, there's some deep wounds in their hearts. And there's sometimes, I'm amazed, I'll be honest with you, I'm amazed. My goodness sake, some of these children are walking out of their homes shortly after 7 a.m. in the morning to climb on a church bus and to ride, sometimes some of them for almost or sometimes over 2 hours. And I think to myself, you know, by the way, a lot of those children, they set their own alarm. They get up and get themselves dressed. And I think to myself, on a day where they're not required, there's no truant officer going to come if they miss Sunday school. But they do these things. You know why? Because there's a Sunday school teacher waiting that loves them. There's children's church workers waiting that loves them. There's bus workers on that bus that I'm going to tell you what, them coming to church, you think that was the biggest thing in all of the world, and those bus workers are so happy to see them. And there's somewhere where they can come and be impacted and touched By, listen, what an opportunity we have. Bus workers, Sunday school workers, children's church workers, nursery workers, bless you. Let me say this, and I mean it with all my heart. This is how I feel. I believe every single one of you that work in those ministry, that you are saints. I mean that. You're saints. You're doing God work. You're doing what Jesus would do. I don't think there's anything more important that you can do with your life than to impact, to touch the life of one child, to touch the life of one child. You just don't know what that child may grow up to be. You don't know what you might have saved that child from later on in life. And the opportunity to tell children about Jesus. We had two young ladies out of our children's ministries come in the invitation today. And by the way, a lot of times more than that are saved, but because of the time frame we're in, and because I tell our children's workers, you deal very slowly, you deal very carefully. Don't you rush them through something just so you can get them in the auditorium. So many, many times children are saved that don't come forward in the invitation. They're still being dealt with. But I'm so glad that children have a place to come and a church that'll buy buses and spend the money to put the fuel in them and spend the money to we'll have a bus painting party out here and we'll have sometimes dozens of people show up and sandpaper and sand a bus down and wipe it down and get it ready and tape it off and spray it fire engine red with white racing stripes and turn it loose on the community. Why do we do that? Because you know what? We have the example of Jesus Christ. Thank you, children's workers. I mean that. We've got a lot of folks in this auditorium tonight. The honest truth is you're tired tonight. You've spent your life giving and giving and giving, but you have made a difference this day in the lives of children. What better thing could you do on the Lord's day than to impact a child for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? Let me just tell you something about kids that I've learned. And that's this. You'll find this. You young bus workers will find this out. Here's an amazing truth about children. Kids grow up. Kids grow up. And I'm getting into a place in my life where, you know what, I see young people that used to be children around here, and now they're the young adults. I see children come back, as we saw this morning, by the way. What a sweet example. The young lady that got saved was I hope, an encouragement to you bus workers. Sometimes we bring them in and we wonder if we're making an impact, and sometimes during their teenage years they may wander off a bit. But you know what? That sweet, precious girl that we baptized today, she called me Friday and she said, I need to come back to church. And when she came Sunday and she started to walk out the door, I got a hold of her real quick and I said, come here. I said, I want to make sure everything's okay. And I said, something's brought you back to church. Could I offer something? Me and my wife would love to meet with you. And if there's anything we could do, maybe we could give you some encouragement, some counsel, some help. Tears came down to her eyes and came down her face. And she said, preacher, that would be awesome. She came Monday. I said, I asked her Sunday at the back door. I said, did you enjoy the service? And she again, with her eyes puddled now, said, preacher, when I pulled in the driveway, I felt like I was coming home. I felt like I was coming home. Folks, let's just keep working with kids. You know, I was a bus captain many years ago now. By the way, just about 2 weeks ago, I got a bus call from one of my Chicago bus kids, just one of the little rugrats, just the meanest, nastiest little kid you've ever seen in your life. And I loved him. And boy, he'd visit with me and run the route with me and do things with me. He's my buddy. And just now he's 40 years old. Can you imagine that? A bus kid, now he's 40 years old. And he calls me the other day, and I hadn't heard from him for a couple years. He calls every once in a while, but it's been about 2 years probably since I talked to him. He said, Brother Jerry, and I noticed usually he kids around with me a lot, and he was very serious, very sober. And I called him by name. I said, Oscar, what you need, buddy? He said, I just need to talk to my bus captain. He said, Brother Jerry, I need you to pray for my wife. She's been diagnosed with cancer. I just need to talk to my bus captain. And we talked and we prayed. You know what, bus captains? You're going to get that call down the road if you stick with it. If you're not a fly-by-nighter, if you're not, I'm going to do it while it's fun, and then when it gets a little hard, I'm going to decide that God led me into something else. You know, it's worth it investing in young people. It's worth it investing in young people. kids grow up. Hey, here's another thought. Listen, don't ever pass up an opportunity to touch the life of a teenager. Come on, adults, let's get in a time machine. Let's get in a mental time machine. Let's go back a little bit. Those weren't easy years. Come on now. Let's just look up here and go like that. Amen. And I don't mean touch a teenager like, you know. I see some of you smiling back there on the back row. I know what Brother Reiser's thinking of. He said, I try never to pass that opportunity up. But not that that wouldn't be a blessing sometimes, but I'm excited about the youth revival. I really mean that. I'm going to tell you something. I have a feeling God's going to do some miraculous thing. We've got a group of our young people are getting serious about this thing, and they're putting the fasting time in and the praying time in, and some of them are skipping lunch at school and going to pray, and so Pastor Jerry noticed it or mentioned it from the pulpit. They're doing it because they want to see God do something. I think of all of the youth revivals and all the different things we've conducted through the years and the teenagers we've tried to reach. What an important time of life to get the gospel to them. I want you to pray. I've already mentioned we're praying that maybe on Saturday with the things we're offering and the fun, that we'd like to have 75 lost young people in the auditorium. I've told Brother Harris that. I've said in both services, but especially on Saturday, there'll be lost kids here. And I know he's a faithful preacher. I have no doubt he'll bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach it to these young people. Wouldn't it be great to be able to come up and give a report that dozens of teenagers came to receive Jesus Christ? Would you pray about that? Would you pray to that end? I think of a lifetime of doing this. I remember Brother Senders, when we were at the house there just south of Brazil, we had a youth revival there. At that time, I'll tell you what prompted this memory. Several weeks ago, I was at I-70 truck stop, or not truck stop, but the gas station, Speedway across the road, and I was filling up with gas, and a guy come up in a pickup truck, and he got out and started filling up, young adult, and he's filling up with gas, and I keep looking at him, and I think, man, he looks familiar, and then he's peeking over at me, and he's thinking probably the same thing, you know, and finally I said, hey, I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, because somewhere we know each other. Who are you? And a long time ago, I don't try to fake it. People come up and say, you remember me? I say, no. I used to say, yeah, no, I don't know who you are. And so I said, who are you? He said, you're Jerry the bus driver. I drove a public school bus, and I used to drive a bus. I used to drive a bus from my house over to Poland, Indiana. So I'd go over there and pick up the Polacks and bring them to the public school. I'd make one run in the morning, pick all the teenagers and the children up, elementary, in one trip, and then in the afternoon I'd go pick up the elementary kids, take them, go come back to Jackson Township Elementary School, and then they'd bus the high schoolers over, and then I'd make another run. I went to Poland three times a day. 5 days a week for years, folks. That's a lot of traveling. And take those kids over there. But, you know, I'd get those teenagers. Of course, in the morning being a public school bus driver is great, because everybody's tired and everybody's still asleep. And they just kind of get on the bus. You say, good morning. And they go back and they lean their head against the window. And they just, now, after school, oh, my goodness sakes. You know, they've been told for all of this time, sit, be quiet, sit, be quiet, sit, be quiet. And then here they come. They turn them loose. Teachers don't care. They just turn them into the bus drivers. Let us try to deal with them. You know what? I love them kids. I love them kids. And those teenagers. Poland's not a big town. When I get the teenagers and bring them back, I'm trying to remember, and I'm sorry. I'm going to guesstimate that there was probably about 20 teenagers that I would go and transport back over there. But we planned a youth revival at our little startup church over in Brazil, and I had Brother Jim Delaschmidt invited to come. And the rules on my public school bus was, and I wasn't allowed to give announcements about my church. I don't understand that rule. That seemed a ridiculous rule. And they frowned on me preaching, which, I don't understand that, so... But I was told that if the kids asked any questions, I could answer them, which was good. So what I'd do is I'd just come in with my Bible, and I'd lay it open, and then when it got close to youth revival, I'd lay youth revival flyers all over.
And all they got to do is say, what's that? And that's a question, isn't it? What's that? Isn't that a question? Which I'm now allowed to answer. And so I would lay it all out, and they'd come in there and they'd say, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? And I'd say, oh, we're going to have this guy. He used to, by the way, Jim Dellerschmidt's in heaven now. How many of you ever heard him preach? What a remarkable guy. I told Brother Reiser, I said, in a perfect world, if I could bring back one preacher that's gone up to heaven just to do a youth revival to lost kids, I'd pull back Jim Dellerschmidt in a heartbeat. He had an amazing testimony. He was lost and had quite a story, but he actually founded, he actually started the St. Louis chapter of the Hell's Angel Motorcycle Gang. He founded and started that, and you talk about a testimony. So I tell them all about this guy, and oh, we want to go see this guy, you know, and we packed out the church, and I ran a van over to Poland to pick up the kids that said they might come. And I said, here, I'll tell you what, if you guys pick up those flyers, I guess I can't stop you, and that tells you where to be and what time. And then I'd pick them all up, and they'd get on the got on that van. I went over, packed out a 15 pasture van, just packed it out. I think we brought 18 of the 20 teenagers that I transported, all but two kids. I think that's right, all but two kids came. And they came, and of course, others we brought in from other places. And man, that we packed the place out. Brother Dellerschmidt would sing. Boy, he could sing. And then he got up and gave his testimony. And I'm going to tell you something. It was, you know, sometimes God just gets in a place so thick you feel like you can cut it. And by the time he got done with his testimony, gave an invitation, literally, folks, I mean, you got to understand, we're a little startup church with not many altar workers. And we literally had just dozens and dozens of teenagers come forward wanting to be saved. And man, every visiting youth group and pastor, I was grabbing anybody that knew how to lead somebody to Christ, and they'd take these four this way, take these six this way. We sent them every place we knew to send them. We even sent a lady with some girls into the ladies' bathroom and a guy with some guys into the guys' bathroom, just trying to find some place where they could, I mean, the altar was filled, and I was going down the road talking to this group and telling another group, wait right there, I'll be with you. And the Lord just, you know, it's wonderful just to see teenagers say. That was on a Friday night. The next Monday, I'm picking up kids. They get on the bus. They're asleep. On the way home, I pick up those 20-some teenagers, about 20 teenagers, and I go on the bus ride home. And man, they want to, one at a time, they want to stand up and talk about and tell about what happened the night before. And I'm driving a public school bus back to Poland, Indiana, and on that public school bus, we've got public school teenagers standing up testifying, telling about how they got saved at this meeting. And one boy got up and he said, man, they took me into the bathroom. He said, I got saved in the bathroom. And everybody's laughing. He said something I'll never forget. He said, Jesus, flush my sins away. I honestly almost wrecked the bus. I'm laughing so hard I can't see. I'm crying. I think, I don't know how I'm going to explain how I totaled the bus out. How am I going to explain this, you know? By the way, a sweet thing happened. There's one boy that didn't come. One of the two kids that didn't come, one of them, was on that bus, and he was the next to the last person that I let off. And he's listened to all of this, and it gets down to where we're going out in the country now. We're out of Poland, and there's just him and then one girl left, and then I'm done. And he comes up to the front of the bus, and he said, Jerry, he said, man alive, I couldn't come last Friday night. I said, I know that, man. You need to come to church sometime. He's like, no, man, I need to get saved. And I said, you need to get saved like now? I mean, I need to get saved now. And I'm thinking, you know what, I was looking for this job when I got it. I can find another one if this gets me in trouble. I did. I pulled in the parking lot of a United Methodist Church in Poland, Indiana. And I thought, I'm probably going to get fired for this. But I said, would your parents care if you were 5 or 10 minutes late? Hey, they ain't going to care. Amy, your parents going to? No, they ain't going to care. He needs to get saved. And I sat there and turned around. Always had a Bible with me, and got to lead that boy to Jesus Christ right there. Listen, young people, there's more of those stories ahead. There's always going to be more of those miracle stories ahead, as long as Blessed Hope Baptist Church says, let's try to touch the lives of some teenagers. I mean, again, thank you. Every single one of you Sunday school teachers and every single one of you that work with the teenagers around here, thank you. You're doing God's work. Amen. That's right. Those are these years. A lot of those teenagers, those precious teenage girls, precious teenage young men, you know what? All they need is somebody to come along and just touch their life a little bit. Touch it for good. Touch it for God. Touch it for God's glory. Just touch their life a little bit. Don't pass up those opportunities. Listen, don't fail to touch the lives of what some people would call the outcasts. Remember the lepers that no one wanted? Jesus wanted them. Remember the demonics that nobody wanted? Jesus wanted them. Let me say this. Everybody's welcome at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We'll take it. We'll just take anybody. I don't care. Yeah, so I got a bushel basket of problems, preacher. You just come on in. Well, yeah, but preacher, if you knew what was in my past, let me share this with you, visitors. If you knew what was in the past of some of these people sitting around you, you'd leave right now. You know, the great testimony that's scattered all across this auditorium is that, you know what, God can reach down to the uttermost, even to the guttermost, and save a soul and change a life. I like that. Let's just go after the hard cases. Let's go after the people that everybody else has given up on. Let's go to that one who thinks that they've sinned past ever being saved or sinned past ever being used. And let's go to them and tell them, you know what? Jesus has had his eye on you all along. He loves you. He's always wanted you. And you know what? He wants to make a miracle out of you. Sometimes the strongest testimonies, folks, that resonates the most. Not that I would wish that life on anybody, but the Jim Delaschmidt type testimony sometimes has a huge impact to people that come from that type of background. Not everybody that's here that's saved in this church was raised in a Christian home. No, they weren't. Not everybody was had a mom that was a Sunday school teacher and a dad that was a deacon. Not everybody's got that testimony. And you know what? I hope we just keep reaching out and taking a chance on folks and saying, you know what, everybody else in the community, just give up to them. Just declare that they're a bad seed. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you what. God can save anybody. Just look for that one. Look for that one. Me and Brother Bill English years ago, when we were in Bible college together, I've told you this story, but we took a little nursing home on the north side of Chicago up on Foster Avenue just because they, in chapel one day, said, if any of you want to preach, and I was always wanting to preach, here's an opportunity. We got some nursing homes. And Sunday, Saturday, we'd go out on soul winning with Fisherman's Club. And then Sunday morning, we'd go to church. And then after church, we'd go down and help in the youth center for a little while. And then we'd jump in the vehicle and we'd head up the north side of Chicago and go to a little small nursing home on Foster Avenue and just a little group of people. You know what? Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. You families that minister to these nursing homes. These are the forgotten people. I remember my heart would break. I'd go there and I'd say to them, I'd say, listen, have you had family visit you this week? And they'd start to say about how busy their kids were and talk about their kids and they're so proud. And my son, you'd have to understand, preacher, he's busy and he's successful and he's got all this going on. And my daughter, and they'd talk about it. And she'd say, you know, they're probably just too busy. And sometimes, I remember this lady, her voice would break and tears would come down her eyes. And just forgotten people. Don't you do that to your parents, folks. Are you looking up here and listening to me? Don't you do that to your parents. The Bible says you're worse than an infidel if you don't care for your own. Don't you do that. That's not how Christian people ought to treat the aged. Don't you forget them. Don't you stick them away and make them somebody else's responsibility. Wash your hands and walk away and live your life. I understand sometimes you need help in the care of loved ones. But you know what? You ought to be very diligent to be there for them. Don't you forget them like that. Look right up here. There was a lady. I went around. I met everybody. There was one lady whose door was right across from the dining hall. Right across from the dining hall. And the dining hall is where we had our service. I knocked on her door the first time she came to the door. And I said, my name's Jerry Ross. Listen, we're going to have a church service here in a little while. And man, she laid into me. She was the meanest old woman I've ever met in my life. She was nasty mean. She cussed me. She said things that little old ladies shouldn't say. And I did. She told me some things about my genealogy that I wasn't aware of. And I mean, she cussed me. She slammed the door in my face. And I thought to myself, wow. And I just went on and visited. We had our service. And Then I was driving up there the next week, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back and see her, you know. And so on the way, there's these little street vendors in Chicago, and there was one of them selling flowers. And I told Bill, I said, pull over there. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to get some flowers. I jumped out, took a few dollars, got a little handful of flowers, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go and knock on that door and turn on the Ross charm. So I went back there. Here I am, some 19-year-old toe-headed kid, you know, and I knock on her door again, and she said, what? You know, and so I was a little scared of her. So what I did was I opened the door about that much, you know, and her room was this way, so it wasn't anything. And I stuck the flowers on the floor and shut the door. And then I just stood out in the hallway, and I thought, you know what? She's going to come to the door with those flowers and a beautiful smile on her face, and she's going to say, hallelujah, 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 something like that. I had some kind of picture like that in my mind, and I'm sitting there waiting, thinking, you know what, here we go. She opens that door, and she looks at me. She's got these flowers, and she rips them, and she rips them, and she rips them, and she throws them at me, and she slams the door. Standing there with all these flowers around me, and I'm like, that's all right. I'm going to be here a long time, woman. Every single week, I'd bring her a present. After about the third or fourth week, she quit throwing the presents back out in the hallway. She at least kept them and never would. By the way, we were there for a year. Never would let me talk to her. But I noticed something. About 8-10 weeks in, I was preaching one day, and we were singing and preaching, and I looked, because you could look right out the dining hall doors, and you could see the door to her room. And when the service would start, she had opened her door about this much. And I knew what she was doing. I knew she'd taken a chair and pulled it over by that crack. She didn't want me to see her. She's just full of pride, you know. And every week, for probably the better part of a year, that woman listened to the gospel being preached. You know, I never could get her to let me talk to her. But I know that she heard how to be saved. Can I just tell you what I think? I think I'm going to find her one of these days. You say, preacher, why waste your time on somebody like that? There's people that are open, because folks, listen to me, she wasn't mean and nasty and bad. You know what she was? She was hurt and broken. Probably had a whole lifetime of heartache. It's got to the point where she hated everybody and thought everybody hated her. You know what she needed to hear? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I don't know. I hope she got saved. I hope she got saved. Every single week I would lead publicly in the sinner's prayer. Not just for the ones that were in there, but in hopes that she at some time would bow her head with a humble heart and pray and ask Jesus to save her. I'm not going to go on. I could talk about the importance of touching the multitudes, but let me just say this, folks. We're going to turn you loose here again into another week. And we can, if we're not careful, just get busy about our schedule and our day planner and where we're supposed to go next and what we're supposed to accomplish, and forget that every single one of us have been given a mandate by the Lord Jesus Christ to touch as many lives as we could possibly touch. Hey, you're going to go to a restaurant this week. Why don't you just realize that maybe God's orchestrated it for that particular waitress to wait on you? Why don't you see if you can touch her life for good and for God? Before you take off running out of the grocery store, that young man that's bagging your groceries, maybe just a few minutes, maybe just a few seconds to say, hey, son, you know, I don't know who you are, and you don't know who I am, but I'm going to tell you something. I just want to share this with you. God loves you. I've got a little pamphlet here called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Would you take a minute to read this? And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you this week. And then just walk on out the door. You never know who you might touch. You never know who you might touch. Who's out there? I want everybody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to look around their neighborhood in the next few weeks and see it for the first time as a mission field. I've said this a bunch of times, but listen, you do not live where you live by accident. There's somebody that God's got right there, probably within just a short distance of where you live, that if you'd take the time to get to, listen, well, ladies, you say, preacher, I'm a young mother and I got children and I'm trying to take care of the children and it's hard for me to be involved. Listen, why don't you wait till the kids are taking a nap and make a little
just make a pan of chocolate chip cookies. And then set off to the side several for your husband. I mean, we want to be Christ-like, but let's not go crazy about this, all right? Set off some for your husband, you know. Just take a little plate of cookies when the babies get up from their nap. The weather's nicer now. Now, unless it's like today, you may lose those babies. They may blow across the field somewhere, but just take those babies and walk a little bit down the road and knock on somebody's door and say, you know, you don't know me, but we live down here. I'm your neighbor. And I was making some cookies for my husband. He's so deserving of them. And I had some extra. And I wanted to give you this. And by the way, I go to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And I don't know if you go to church anywhere, but we'd love to have you come visit with us sometime. And by the way, if you ever need anything, we're just right down the road there. Anything we could do for you, just be a neighbor. Just go touch a life. Just go touch a life. Look at all the people in here. Can you imagine if all of us just decided that we're not going to let the week clock out? We're not going to walk back into the church house next Sunday morning having not made some type of a spiritual impact on somebody. You just never know who that somebody might turn out to be. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach the Bible. And Lord, thank you for this wonderful example, dear Jesus, that you gave us. Lord, you didn't rush by people. Seems like when the world was in a hurry, you never seemed to be much in a hurry. And you always looked along the fringe of the crowd. You were always looking for somebody that everybody else was ignoring or no one else wanted. And Lord, we see how preciously you sought out those that had particular needs and heartaches and burdens. And Lord, your wonderful, miraculous touch. Now, God, we can't do the miraculous, but we can introduce them to a Savior who still performs miracles. I pray that you'd help us throughout this week, Lord, to just take the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ. Lord, if there's something that could be said at the end of our lives, as somebody's presenting a eulogy, may it be that this Christian man or this Christian woman, they lived, but while they lived, they touched a multitude of lives. Lord, give us a Christ heart. May we find some children that we can make an impact on. May we find some teenagers. May we find that neighbor, that friend. May we, Lord, keep our spiritual sensitivity high as we go throughout the week. And Lord, may we listen carefully to your Spirit's direction in our life. Help us to see with Christ's eyes and feel with Christ's compassion. And Lord, use us this day. Lord, please use us this week. And may we make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name.